the riches of the glory of the enjoyment of his allotment. This is one of the most wonderful series of words that is found in scriptures. We have been considering the lot, and we have seen that it was introduced into Israel in order that God would have his way with them. God gave them the law so that in general they knew his will. But he never could have given them a book to tell them what to do in every particular instance. And so they had the lot in Israel and appealed to Jehovah whenever they were not clear as to what his intention was. Very important that we see that the lot was not a gamble, not a chance, but the very opposite. It took the determination out of the hands of men and put it into the hands of Jehovah. Then, in Israel, they used the lot to determine which goat was to be sacrificed and to divide the land among the tribes, and every year to apportion the land among the farmers. And there we have a marvelous picture which will help us to understand our allotment. The land was divided into groups of parcels, and each group had a man at the head of it. And first of all, the lot determined which group should have which parcel of land. Then each farmer was allotted his particular portion in the head of his group. And so we have our allotment in Christ. First of all, we must know what is his allotment before we can know what is ours, because we share it with him. Now, one of the most remarkable things in connection with our allotment in the heavenlies, in the celestials, is the fact that it is always described and designated by means of political terms. I don't know whether you noticed it or not, but when you come to think of heaven, of the celestials, you will find very little in the scriptures except the political division that there are there. It's just as though if a Martian should come to Earth, we wouldn't tell him about the different races of mankind, or about their colors, or about their characteristics. Nothing of that kind. We would just tell him about the different forms of government. Here on the Earth, we have empires, and we have dominions. At least in the British government, there's quite a distinction there, in their kingdom, in their jurisdiction, and so on. So, when we come to consider the allotment among the celestials, we will find it almost always in political terms. We're not told much about them, except the different forms of government. Of course, we know something about them by inference. For instance, we know that whatever creatures there are in the heavens must be mentally alert, because they are now learning of the multifarious wisdom of God through his dealings with us. And that certainly requires considerable mental power. Very few of the Lord's people ever realize that during their whole lifetime. But if they are designated by means of political terms dealing with government, then heaven must be a very, very different place from what we have been taught. To begin with, you know, there wasn't any government on the earth. Government was only introduced after men were so sunk in sin that they had to be restrained, and government will vanish at the consummation. On earth, you see, government is a sign of insubjection, insubordination, just as on earth. So that in heaven, the creatures there are out of tune with God. And we can look at it from a different standpoint again. They must be that because it will be our privilege to bring them back to God. If we don't see that heaven is in a state of opposition to God, just as it is on earth, we'll fail to realize what our allotment really is. Yet confess in being a blessing to the celestial beings, thus if Israel will be a blessing to the nations of earth. Politically, through the kingdom and the king. Religiously, to the priesthood. We will be like Israel, both priest and king, but in a much higher sphere. Now, before we go further, I'd like to emphasize the fact that the powers among the celestials are opposed to us and to God. We will find that in the 8th of Romans. Remember, in the 8th of Romans, there the apostles speak of our opponents and give us a list of the things that will not separate us from the love of God. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor messenger, that's the word that's generally translated angel, nor sovereignty, nor the present, nor and so on. But I simply want to draw attention to the fact here that the so-called angels are among those who would separate us from the love of God if they could. That's quite the opposite of what most of us have taken in with our mother's milk. I remember years ago, we lived in a house, St. Louis. It was owned by Catholics. They lived downstairs and we lived upstairs. And he showed me his books that he had in school. He didn't go to public school like I did. He went to a special school. And I'll never forget some of the things in those books. My memory isn't so very good, but there are a few things like that that stick. Everybody, according to that book, had a guardian angel. I suppose the Catholics still teach that. I don't know what they teach, but I suppose they still teach. Everybody has their own guardian angel. Well, if they changed that to devil, they'd been a good deal closer to it. Did Jews have guardian angels or devils? Oh, only one. Well, the nation of the Jews have a messenger who stands up for them. That's a different matter. This is putting messengers in a very, very different place. There are a few exceptions. Even on earth, there are some exceptions, you know. And here we have messengers and sovereignties. Sovereignties are against us. Now, a sovereignty may be a little difficult for you to understand, but it means the highest form of government. The final appeal in the British Dominion, it would be the king, I suppose. So that the highest forms among the celestials will not be able to separate us from the love of God. But there's no scripture that I know of where they're going to protect us from evil. So it is wherever these words occur. In Ephesians, in the 21st verse of the first chapter, we have something similar. Speaking of Christ, thinking him at his right hand among the celestials, up over every sovereignty and authority and power and lordship. So you see, he is going to get a place superior to them in order to rule them. They need Christ in heaven just as much as they need him on earth. And he is going to be the one who will exercise his prerogatives as head over all these political powers in the heaven, and we will be associated with him. Basically, we must understand these things, or else we'll be, I don't think we'll be disappointed when we get to heaven, because we'll be beyond that sort of thing, but we'll find it a very, very different place than what we expected. Unless we know something about these truths in Paul's epistle. Then, We have the same record in 1 Corinthians 15:24. I suppose this is so unlike what you generally hear that it's wise for me to give you more than one passage. Thereafter comes the consummation, whenever he may be giving up the kingdom to his God and Father, whenever he should be nullifying all sovereignty, and all authority, and power. These are the things that obtain during the eon, before God is all in all. For he must be reigning until he should be placing all his enemies under his feet. These are enemies, and so on. Our allotment, then, you see, will be concerned with politics. I've been very careful to keep out of politics. I worked for the government for a little while, and that more or less cured me. I tried to work, I don't say that I worked, but I tried to. They wouldn't let me. And politics in up there will be a very different matter. So we're all interested, not in politics on earth, so much as politics among the celestials. So you will see that in every passage where these political powers are mentioned, it is in connection with insubjection and sin. Because in the allotment to which we are going, it will be our function, corresponding to Israel on the earth, to deal with that. Christ will have an iron club. And any of you ever seen a shepherd's club? Well, I've seen them. And I was quite impressed by them. I didn't get any too close. It's something that's fastened around the wrist of a shepherd. Maybe of wood. The one I saw was of wood, but it had iron spikes in the end. Ball, kind of a ball at the end, with iron spikes. And that is the figure that God uses of the reign of Christ over the earth. In the celestials, there will be what corresponds to that. You won't need any iron there, but there will be force. And we will be with him in dealing with it. So, it's political. I thought I couldn't understand that. We're not in the kingdom. And here we have the kingdom in Colossians. But when I began to look at it closely, I no longer had any trouble. Here, it's connected with our allotment. Who makes you competent for the part of the allotment of the saints in light? Who rescues us out of the jurisdiction of darkness and transports us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we are having the deliverance, and so on and so forth. This is a present thing. That's the kingdom that is in force today. But it isn't the kingdom of Christ, the anointed. It's the kingdom of the Son. Entirely different matter. In this kingdom, it's a spiritual one, a figurative kingdom. It has to do with our spirit, with reference to spirit being, this celestial opponent that we have, those spoken of in the last chapter of Ephesians, with reference to them, we are at war. We don't obey them. We stand against them. And I think it'd be a fine thing if we could all get this clear. But no subjection to the present spirit powers of wickedness among the celestials.